teacher before we start the shiur, that there will be no shiur next Monday evening. It will be on Thursday. I'm going to... I'll be going to New York for a member's wedding. I'm not running for president either. And there is also no truth in the rumor that the reason I was contemplating leaving was because I couldn't find anything to say on Vayakkel Pekudi for a second year. Okay. So, yes. Thursday week, Mr. Shem, we'll have a look at Parshas Pekudi. Fine. Okay. This evening, I want to branch out a little at the beginning of the shiur. I feel it is, first of all, important to recognize when major Shabbatos of the year come around. And number two, part of what we do in the shiur is to expand our horizons in regards to the type of sources we look at and the types of topics that we discuss. So this coming Shabbos, as you know, is Parshas Shekolim. And there is something which came to my notice. I purchased a sefer in abroad last week, and there I discovered a reference to a tshuva of Reb Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna. And it is that particular item that I wanted to draw your attention to as our main offering of the evening. And that's the shyness of tshuva's Binyan Shlomo. And you will appreciate very early on that this is something which is most glorious. Says the Binyan Shlomo, Tanan, we learn at the very beginning of Maseches Shekolim. The Echod B'Adar, on the first of Adar, Mashmiin Al Hashkolim, an announcement is made concerning the contribution of Machzis HaShekel, which has to be made during that month. The Al HaKelayim, and announcements are made in regards to the prohibition against planting seeds of different types together. Uve Tesvav Bo, and on the 15th of Adar, Korin Es HaMegillah Bakrochim, in walled cities the Megillah is read. Umesaknin Es HaGrochim, and we repair the highways, the Yesorachovos, and the streets, the Yes Mikvoos HaMayim, and the Mikvoos, the Otsin Kol Tzorech Rabim, and we look after all communal and public affairs, which needs rectification and improvement. The Yotzein Af Al Haklayim, and not only do we announce about the prohibition against planting different seeds together, but we actually send out delegates from the Beit HaGadol in Yerushalayim to make sure that the prohibition is adhered to. That's the first mitzvah. And of course, that is the mitzvah which reminds us that the Machzis HaShekel was given during the month of Adar, for which reason, on the Shabbos Mevorechim Adar, or in the leap year Adar Sheni, we read Parshas Shkot. Says the Binyan Shlomo, V'lechule yesh lo seis tam. It would appear that we have to offer a reason. Lama hitilu chachomim chiyu. Why do the rabbis place an obligation on Israel? Le'ayin al tzorche rabim. To look into all communal affairs. Bechodesh Adar, in the month of Adar, yosher mikol hashom. More than the rest of the year. Yibish le'mebahanach tati d'reisha. I can understand why, in regards to the first two items that I mentioned at the beginning of the Mishnah, namely, Shekolim and Telayim, Shevar Mavur Tamu B'Megillah Perik B'nei Hoir. I know that the reason is already stated explicitly in the Talmud in Gemara Megillah. For Shekolim, the Gemara explains, why do we need to announce at the beginning of Adar that we have to give Shekolim Mishum de Benison, because we know from the pasuk in the Torah that already from the first of Nisan, Boi Akruve Mitarumo Chadosha. The law is that beginning with the first of Nisan of every year, the korbonos, which are brought on behalf of the community, must be brought some new money. And therefore, beginning with the month of Adar, we have to start announcing that the new Machtzis HaShekel is going to be collected, so that from the first of Nisan, we are able to bring korbanos, those sacrifices which are brought on behalf of the community, already from that new money which is being collected. It's mishum hachi, because it has to be brought, the korbanos have to be brought from new money. For this reason, kadminon, the korinon, the echod b'adar, we already have to give a prior notice of this 30 days before the first of Nisan. Because there is a klal, a general rule, that whenever a certain halacha will come into place at a certain date in the Jewish calendar, we already have to anticipate it 30 days beforehand. As we know, the Shoalim Behilchos HaPesach Kodom LaPesach Shaloshim Yom. Same way, that's the classic example, where we have to investigate and discuss the laws of Pesach 30 days prior to Pesach. So since the new money must already be in place on the first of Nisan, so preparations which are appropriate have to be taken 30 days prior on the first of Adar. Ubik Kilayim, skipping a line, and in regards to the seeds, the prohibition, we can also understand why that announcement comes out in Adar. Mishum Dizman Zariyahu, because the Adar is the time of planting, February, March. Uhu Gam Keng Shambi Megillah. And in fact, that is also mentioned in the Gemara in Megillah. Avol, says the Binyan Shlomo. But in regards to Inner, Sorachei Rabim, but in regards to the other communal matters that the Mishnah suggests have to be attended to in the month of Adar, Kigon, for instance, Tikun Drochim, fixing the roads, Rechovos, the streets, Mikvos HaMayim, and the Mikvos, Rechol Hanach Tzorchei Rabim, Dekachosha B'Yerushalmi, etc., etc., and all the other communal matters which the Jerusalem Talmud lists and expands on there, we have to ask ourselves a simple question. Why did the rabbis tell us that more than any other month, not only have we got to look after things which are obviously appropriate for that month, shkolim, because of the new shkolim that have to be gathered, kelayim, because it's a season of planting. I might even go further. The streets, the roads, the highways, that's also appropriate, because it's after the winter, and the roads are not as permanent as they are today. So therefore, I would understand after a long winter, we have to look into these matters as well. Mikvor Tamayim, because of the winter and the battering with the storms, could very well be there are cracks in the mikvors. But the Mishnah doesn't content itself with those matters. The Mishnah then goes on to say that in the month of Adar, not only have we got to look after all those things, but v'chol tzorchei rabim. Every communal matter has to be investigated. Can we put anything right? Is there anything that needs looking into of whatever nature? So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, why was this month suggested for this particular activity of investigating how to improve our communal institutions, our communal premises, whatever it may be? Says the Shlema HaKoinigil, the Yolong Aldati, and it occurred to me that I could offer a reason for this on the basis of a well-known Gemara, Daf Lamed Gimel Omed Beis. The Gemara reads like this. The Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Interestingly, that the story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is found on page 33. Lag. And Gemara Shabbos and died on Lag BaOmer. It's the most interesting phenomenon, but that's a different one. The Gemara says there that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai kadnafik mimiyoro, when he came out of the cave in which he had been miraculously kept alive by the tree that grew and by the well of water, and came out after a period of 13 years, he and his son Omar, he said the following words: Ho'il v'yisrachesh nisa. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed a miracle for me to keep me alive and to save me from death, Ezal, let me go, the Istan Milse. How can I show my appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for having been delivered, Mimisol Echayim, says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, I am going to show my appreciation by going out to the community and by saying to them, is there anything I can do on your behalf? The chesiv, and how do I know, says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that that is an appropriate response for a person who has been miraculously saved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show his appreciation by making some contribution to the communal well-being and welfare? So you know why? Because it says in the Pasuk, Vayovo Yaakov Sholeim Ir Shechem, after the confrontation of Yaakov Avinu with the angel, from which he was miraculously saved, and from which injury he was miraculously cured in a space of a very short time, and the Gemara says on the word Sholeim, Sholeim Begufo, Sholeim Bimomono, Sholeim Besoroso, Omar, what did Yaakov Avinu do? He also instituted various things in Shechem, by Yavo Yaakov Sholeim to Shechem, says the Pasuk Vayichan Eskeneho here, which does not mean, according to Chazal, that he encamped in front of the city, but rather he was gracious to the city, Vayichan Milotim Chayim. And what did he do? Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and there are various interpretations in the Gemara there, exactly what Yaakov Avinu did for Shechem. Either he instituted coinage, or he instituted marketplaces, or he instituted bathhouses, but he made some contribution to the communal welfare. Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, if Yaakov Avinu has set the pattern that when a person is delivered miraculously in Miso Mechayim, he makes a response and shows his appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by making some contribution to the community, I must do likewise. So therefore, Omar, he said, Ikemilta de Boili Sekune, when he came back to civilization, he said to the first town that he came to, is there any communal problem that I can be of assistance with? Omrile, they said to him, there is a certain large area of ground in our city precinct, and it would appear that there is a problem, because we are told by our tradition that someone is buried there, but we don't know where. And because we don't know where, so the Kohanim can't go near it. Is the Islahu Tzara le Kohanim Yashufe. And the Kohanim have got a terrible tircha that they've got to go all around. They can't walk straight through. And it's an annoyance because it's part of our town. So what did he do? He says, leave it to me. It's called Heicha Dehavi Koshe Tahare. So wherever the ground was rock hard, he says there's no grave there, because it doesn't show any signs of having been dug. So there's no grave. V'chol Heicha Dehavi Rose. And wherever the ground was stopped, and there was a possibility a grave had been made there, Sine, he put a sign up, Kohanim sit and go. So what he did was, he made some contribution to the communal will. Hayotze lonu mi'agodazu. What emerges from this tale, says the Binyan claimant, the chol barnash, that whenever you have a person, the Mizrachi Sleinisa, for whom a miracle was performed, he has to investigate and to see what contribution he can make to the community. And we have a perfect and complete and convincing proof in whose case, since he was cured miraculously from his problem, he was cured from his limp. That is the locus classic, that whenever a person is delivered miraculously in Miso Lechayim, that the appropriate gesture is to make a contribution to the public welfare. Ulesi hakdomozu, says the Vinyan claimer, and with that introduction, meyato matovu manoim divrei rabosinu chachmei ha-mishnah. How beautiful, how logical, and how correct are the rabbis of our Mishnah, the Yomru who told us, the Yotzin kol tzorechei rabim b'chodesh Adar, that communal matters must be attended to by Israel in the month of Adar. Why? Mishum de'ein l'cho chodesh, because there is no month in the calendar, shenatu bo li'Yisrael neit klali u'mufursam, there is no month in which a miracle that brought us from death to life has been performed for an entire people more than the month of Adar, shenigalu bo avoseinu, in which our forefathers were redeemed, b'mei Mordechai v'yester mamish mimavis l'chaim v'la Yehudim hoyas ha'orah v'simcha v'sasa v'kos b'chodesh hazeh, in that month. And the Gemara And the Pasuk in Megillas Esther relates the Simcha not to the day or days. That's his point, although he doesn't say so explicitly. In the Megillah, those of you who are Baal Shoni will know it says the Hasodesh, as in Achenev Haplehem, Miyogo Lisimcha, Umiyeva Liyomtov. So the whole month is a month of Geula. Is below Yofa Omru Chachamim, is it not then so wonderful that our rabbis have said, the Chov al Beistin, that it is a duty for the Beistin, Lahashkiach, the Tzorech Rabin Bechodish there, to investigate matters of communal interest in this month, Shanasu Bonet Lechol Yisrael, in which miracles were performed for our people, who commode the Motina of Yaakov Avinu, as we find in the case of Yaakov Avinu, Shemitoch Shanasu Lonet Tikin Tzorech. Something very, very majestic. That it is a month of involvement in communal activity, because we see from Shimon bar Yochai, who noted it from Yaakov Avinu, that the appropriate response to being miraculously saved, Mimisa Lechayim, is to make a contribution to communal welfare. And this is the month when we were saved, Mimisa Lechayim, in Pesach, the Meyavdus Lechel. Not Mimisa Lechayim. On the contrary, the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, makes the Kal Vachomer. If you sing Shira, Meyavdus Lechel, it's how much more so must we sing Shira, Mimisa Lechayim, Mimovisa. So that's the contribution that I wanted to offer in regards to Parsha Shkolim, and certainly a very, very majestic one. Okay. So let us now begin and have a look at Parsha Vayakel. And here we will discover a number of items, and leave over to Mr. Shem others for a future day. The opening language of the Sidre is most unique. Vayakel Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu gathered together. And I would like to offer one or two suggestions which I have found, not in the writings of the classical Meforshim, but in the later Acharonim, but well worth mentioning. Vayakel, obviously, uniting the Jewish people together. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I'll suggest, I think we might have mentioned it last year, but worthwhile mentioning again, that the reason for this Vayakel is because the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that when the Jewish people worshipped the golden calf, it was not merely, word used advisedly, a question of Avodah Zorah, but there actually took place at that time a tremendous disunity amongst our people. In fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that each of the Shvatim decided they wanted their own golden calf, and that's the Shura. I don't have it in the usual, right? They made for themselves 12 golden calves. So therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, now that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down after Yom Kippur, which is the Yom Kippur after the Chet HaEgel, it is necessary for him not only to win them back, because they have in fact repented, a chotasi, whatever it is, and the building of the Mishkan is a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven them for the Chet HaEgel, but not only does Moshe Rabbeinu have to win them back, as it were, to Yiddishkeit, but he has to remold them as a people, because they have grown into 12 separate entities. And therefore, the crucial word at the beginning of the Sidra is Vayakel, and Moshe Rabbeinu united. There is a beautiful theme, which I came across, I think it's in a Hasidic sefer, well worth mentioning, the Orkanei Moshe. I'm not sure exactly who the author is. And he says very beautifully, the reason why Vayakel appears only at the beginning of this parsha is for the following reason. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come to the Jewish people and tell them how to build a Mishkan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to build a house so that he can dwell amongst you. And this is the prototype of the Beis HaMikdash, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, and Bayis Rishon. Says the opening motion. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to inform the Bnei Yisrael that keeping the Beis HaMikdash, keeping the Mishkan amongst you, depends on many factors. It depends on your adherence to Jewish law, because we know the Bayis Rishon was destroyed because Bnei Yisrael went away from many basic precepts of the Torah. But you can also lose the Beis HaMikdash as they did in the time of Bayis Sheni because of Sinas Hinnom. Because even though you may be frum, quote unquote, but you don't get on together, that's another reason why you lose the Beis HaMikdash. That's another reason why you can lose the Mishkan. says the Yofane Moshe. That is why Moshe Rabbeinu, in coming to the Bnei Yisrael, says to them, Vayakev Moshe. The first thing you have to know when you build a Mishkan is that if you are not united, the Mishkan that you are going to build has no future. And in fact, this is a testimony to Moshe Rabbeinu's understanding, because in reality, as many of you will know, and it is stated explicitly in Chazal, every single item of the Mishkan which came with them later on into Eretz Yisrael, there is no item of that Mishkan, whether it was a peg or a hook or a curtain or whatever it was, that fell into enemy hands. It is all intact and waiting to be discovered, because Moshe Rabbeinu had the foresight not only to elevate them in regards to Yiddishkeit, but also to indicate to them as to how you preserve a Mishkan, how you preserve a Beis HaMikdash. What I want to move on to now is a second theme in this particular matter. Vayakel Moshe is called Adas B'nei Yisrael. He is assembling Adas B'nei Yisrael, and in Portal K will say to them, Kechu Meyitachem, take from yourselves a Truma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Zohar HaKadosh makes a comment on Vayakel Moshe Eskol Adas B'nei Yisrael and also on Kechu Meitachem. And they say as follows, that there is a distinction made between the instruction that Moshe Rabbeinu was given in Parshas Truma, which was to accept donations from any individual, anyone who had a generosity of spirit was invited to contribute, and that would include whether it was a born Jew or a member of the Ein of Rav. That could be anybody. But after the Ein of Rav had been instrumental in cashing in on the panic that we mentioned last week in the name of Rav Yankel, and in prompting members of Bnei Yisrael to go ahead and make the Yegel Hazov, for this reason they are now outlawed. Their contributions are no longer acceptable. Therefore, it is by Akel Moshe called Adas B'nai Yisrael. It is only the born Jews who are addressed now, and it is Kechu Meitachem. Only from you can the donations be accepted, because the Ein of Rav are now outlawed, and subscriptions from them are not acceptable. So that's the introduction to the parsha. A problem that I mentioned last week that I would address, and that is the fact that in Parshas Kisisa, the Mishkan is mentioned before Shabbos, and in Parshas Vayakel, Shabbos is mentioned before the Mishkan. There are, in fact, two explanations that I would like to offer this evening. Well, the first is in the name of the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi says like this, I want to give you a morsel. That's a favorite tool of the rabbis, that whenever they want to make a point, they give us a marshal. And the marshal that he gives is as follows. It's that Beis Halevi can be found at the very beginning of his essays on Parshas Kisisa. Says the Beis Halevi, to what can this be compared? To a rich man who has a son who's getting married. And, as you know, it is the custom that when rich people, their sons get married, not only do they give them everything that they need, but they give them luxuries as well. After all, they are wealthy, so they have a Venus. Sometimes, the father likes the son. Sometimes, the father doesn't like him. If you are going to get in the house, but, even though he doesn't like him, it's possible that he should let him go without giving him all those trimmings that the children of the rich usually get. Because if he doesn't give them to him, then people will say, he doesn't like his son, but you can fool some of the people that what's the natural conclusion to him? By giving him, he's no giving. So what does he do? He has to give him. He has to give him, since the golden is eager. He has to give him all these things. He's got to give him these, the judge. He's got to give him the whole lot. He doesn't like him, but he's got to give him. Otherwise, the people will say, he can only afford it. Says the Beis Halevi, so how do you discover whether the father is giving these things to his son because he likes them or because he has to? Says the Beis Halevi, I'll tell you. He gives them the luxuries first. and then follows on by buying him the house, etc., etc., then you know he loves him. But if he gives him what he needs first, and only some lessons at the end, he gives him whatever it is, it's obvious he doesn't do so with a fool. That's the marshal, says the Beis HaLevi. Says the Beis HaLevi, in regards to Klal Yisrael, what is a luxury and what is a necessity? You cannot say that the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan is a necessity, because Jews have lived 2,000 years without a Mishkan. So it's not a necessity. I mean, we're not saying Chas V'Shalom it's not a Mishkan, but if you want to compare it to Shabbos, it's certainly not a necessity. On the other hand, Shabbos is a necessity. As the famous gentleman said, more than the Jews have kept Shabbos, the Shabbos kept the Jews. And it's true. So therefore, in Parshas Kisisah, which part was written before the Chet HaEgel, when we were the beloved children of God, so therefore I thought it's part of who wanted to mention the Mishkan before Shabbos, because the luxury comes before the necessity. But at the end, in Parshas Vayakel, which is after the Chet HaEgel, which although we have repented, God is Father who has forgiven us, oh, but even instead of starting, it can't be the same again. It lost the luster. So therefore, what comes first is Shabbos, and what comes next is the Mishkan. That is the approach of the Beis HaLevi. What is of interest to mention to you, and I hope you can find it in your Kli Yochor, one of the sadnesses is not that the Kli Yochor is included in the Mikros Gedolos, but that they put him in such small print. But that's a matter which will be rectified. What I'd like to draw your attention to is the section beginning, Sheshes Yomim Teosem Alecha. And you'll find it about 19 lines from the bottom of that section, beginning with the word Lama. Here's the Kli Yochor as follows. Lomo Shino Moshe HaSeder. Why did Moses change around the order? Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzivo Lo Techilo Al HaMishkan. Because in Tzitzis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu first concerning the tabernacle, and then Shabbos, Hu Moshe Hikdim HaShabbos, but Moshe Rabbeinu put the Shabbos first. Bezeh, says the Kli Yochor, the answer is as follows. Ki HaShabbos Ein bo ki in kavod Hashem Yisborak. What is the Shabbos given to us for? The Shabbos is given to us in order that we should offer honor to God. The Shabbos was not given in our honor. The Shabbos was given in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. So if you're talking to me and are asking me what is the theme of the Shabbos, the theme of Shabbos is covered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bahamishkan, and this is the theme of the tabernacle, Kulo al Kavod Yisrael. It is an institution, it is a building, which has as its theme the honor of Israel, because it is as powerful an indication to the world as any Shevichar Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God forgave them for the Chedolegel, the Hishra Shechinah to the Sultan, and God is bringing His Shechinah to dwell amongst them and nowhere else. Umochal lohem aben ha'egel, and has forgiven them for the sin of the golden calf. So the theme of the Mishkan is the glory to Israel. The theme of Shabbos is the glory to God. Says the Kli Yochor, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu chas b'yosher al kavodam shel Yisrael. You're asking me, what does that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hold more dear? His kavod or the kavod due to Israel? Says the Kli Yochor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds more dear the kavod due to Israel. He doesn't give the proof. It is a beautiful proof in the Sefer Kedushas Levi. Because the Kedushas Levi comments on the Gemara in Brachos, which tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts on tefillin. And the question that is asked in the Gemara there is, in our tefillin that we put on, it says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have in his tefillin? Says the Gemara, Ato Echad V'Shimecho Echad V'Mi Kiyamecho Yisrael Goy Echad Lohoretz. You are one, your name is one, and who is like your people is in one nation in the world. So therefore, whilst we glory in God, God glories in Israel. Ato Echad V'Shimecho Echad V'Mi Kiyamecho Yisrael Goy Echad Lohoretz. So therefore, if you are speaking about Parshas Kisisa, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking, Moshe Rabbeinu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chos V'Yosel HaKavod to Yisrael. Therefore, Hikdim HaMishkan. Okay, that's why he put the Mishkan first. Avol Moshe, two lines on. Avol Moshe Choshav, but Moshe Rabbeinu in Vayakel is the one who is speaking. If he is of the opinion, but Moshe Rabbeinu, who is speaking of a new Israel, and we are more concerned with the honor due to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than with the honor due to us. And as far as Shabbos is concerned, that is the one that shows the honor due to Hashem, and the Mishkan is the honor due to us. Therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks in Parshas Vayakel, he will put the Shabbos first, followed by the Mishkan. So therefore, whereas the Beis HaLevi will indicate that it's a change in status, the Kliyoka will say, no, nothing of the sort. The answer is quite simply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is speaking in Tisisa, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who is speaking in Parshas Vayakel. Okay. Now, let us now move on. We move now into the area of the Mishkan itself. Some very, very beautiful themes that I wanted to draw your attention to. So Shabbos comes first, and then we move on into the Mishkan. Says the Pasuk in Pasuk 10. Kechu me'itehem terumo l'Hashem. Now, the Kliyotor is concerned with the use of the apparently superfluous words, Kechu me'itechem, take from you. What else are you going to take from? Says the Kliyotor, follow him here on the word Kechu me'itechem. Says the Kliyotor, Kevar pirashnu lamalo. We have already indicated earlier on that the word me'itechem comes to tell you that you should give only what belongs to you. Don't give what's stolen. That's why it says the Beis HaLevi Mishpatim is mentioned before Truma. Because you should know what's yours and what's not yours before you start giving. So he says, Tichu me'itechem. I suppose it's worthwhile mentioning that there is a very famous marshal in Kesubis in Daf Samach Zion, where the Marshal says there about the people who make their money illegally, and specifies Gezalakum, stealing from Goyim and swindling them, and then give large amounts to the various institutions so that they should have a big Mishabelech, the Marshal's words, not mine. And this is Mitzvah Habor Bave. And he says not only that, if you swindle Goyim, then it is also contains the added dimension of Chilul HaShem, and there is also the Be'er HaGola, an ancestor of the Gaon. In his introduction to Choshen Mishpat, he says, I saw many, many wealthy people who made their money illegally through swindling Goyim, and I saw that they were the ones who had to leave everything behind and run away, and they had nothing left of it, and that is what was their dessert anyway. So Kechu Me'itechem, says the Kliyokor, is that particular theme. Take me'itechem from what is yours. However, he says, I would like to offer another suggestion. The Yod Yichlol me'itechem, the wonderful theme. I would also suggest that the word me'itechem includes the following theme. Shekol echad, that every Jew, yizdareiz le'mitzvah, should do the mitzvah of contributing to the Mishkan, me'yasmo, because he wants to. There are other people who don't want to give at all. But the neighbor is giving 2,000. The other neighbor is giving 5,000. His business partner is giving another 5,000. Eshemsef. So what is prompting him to give? Not himself. The other people. So Kechu me'itechem, says the Kliyokor, give because you want to give, not because other people are coercing you by intimidation or whatever it may be. Because you have people who don't give, who are not prepared to give anything, until he sees other people giving, and he gets jealous because they're getting all the cover and he doesn't give. But had he been left on his own, he wouldn't have parted with a penny. Of course, you're like with us. Al Cain, who knows him. So why does he give? So that he should be on the same level as they are. And that's not called, says the Kliyoka me'itechem, because ki hu atno eino sibo el hanesino el achelim sibolo. Because the cause of the giving is not himself, the cause of the giving is the other. So therefore, says the Kliyoka, kechu me'itechem is to tell you that you've got to give because you want to give, because you appreciate how valuable the cause is, and that is what prompts you. not because you are embarrassed or you don't want to be considered inferior to the other people. Okay. Now what I want to draw your attention to is the two expressions which are found in the Torah for the people who give. Very interesting. Vayakel is all about giving. So we have to find out exactly what the expressions associated with the giving of the money in the Mishnah, exactly what it's all about. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And then we move back to Rabbeinu Bachya. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh in Pasuk Chopah. Let's have a look at the Pasuk first, and then we'll be able to have a look at the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And each person came, Asher Nisso Olivo. One expression. Asher Nisso Olivo, whose heart had elevated him. That's one expression. And the second is, V'chol Asher Nodavoru Choso. And the other one, whose spirit was generous. So you've got somebody whose heart has raised him, and you've got Nisso Olivo, and then you've got Nodavoru Choso. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh in his commentary, the Pasuk Chopal. Perush, why does it say Mr. Olivo and not the Borucho? Says the Ora Chaim HaKadosh as well. Da, you should know. Ki yesh shetei hadrogos b'misnadvim. There are two levels of giving. Sounds like an appeal. Which it is. There are two levels of giving. Hu echad, number one. Hu hamisnadei v'ritzon nafsho. Person who gives, not grudgingly, but it's so natural, with the greatest, the fullest heart. Kifi Yecholto. According to his means, the Erech Mamono, and the amount of money that he has. He gives generously, but he gives it according to his means. V'lozeh Yikorei, and that person is the person who has Nodavor Ucho, meaning generous of spirit, meaning to say to you that what he is not, he is, that he is not giving it grudgingly. Whatever he's giving with a full heart. But what is he giving? What he can afford. The Hasheni, and the second is Hamisnadevi Oter Miyachoto, the person who gives more than he can afford. Why? Migodel Tobios Libo, because he is of such a good heart. Velozei Kore, Mr. Olivo, and that's called his heart is raised in Pelush, meaning Shahalev Menaseyu. His heart raises him, umaricho, and causes him to evaluate the erech osher yosem imashahu losei sovayokah. It causes him to evaluate himself and say, for this cause, I have to act like a millionaire even though I'm not. Of course, we don't speak about the third level. People who give much less than they can afford. Obviously, this seems there was only two levels of people who gave towards the Mishnah. And we see, of course, and it will be pointed out, Mr. Shem, I think it's a beautiful sephorna at the beginning of Pekuda, if I do not forget, that what was important in the Mishkan and why it was such a place of sanctity was not what people gave, but how people gave. And the level of the giving, not the level of what they own. Because as the sephorna will point out, we'll have a look at it then, the amount of money was much less than the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech, and much less than the Beis HaMikdash of Hordus. But the sanctity of a place does not depend on the physical premise. It depends on the quality of the people who build. Very, very important to remember. I was going to say no shul ever went bankrupt. It's not true, because last week in Toronto a shul did go bankrupt, but that's as big as that. But the practice at Dover is that a shul never lacked because of its financial resources all through our history. It has fallen because of the quality of the people who have built it and who keep it going. Okay. Enough of an appeal. Now we'll move on now to the Rabbeinu Bachya. Something very, very beautiful. In Pasukov, we are told that as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu finished speaking, that all these people left. Of course, the famous question is, why do you need to tell us that? Obviously, when he was finished, they left. I once suggested that from here we find that you should go out in the middle of the sermon. They only left after it was over, right? Not in the middle. Okay. Although some people walk out before it starts, that's it. Okay. Now, I'll tell you my problems later. Vayetzu kol hadas b'nei Yisrael milifnei Moshe. And then the next pasuk is Vayavou kolish asher nisaholi bo. And people came back who were ready to make their contribution. So what the combination informs us, says Rabbeinu Bachya, HaKozov HaZeh, this verse or the combination, Yoda indicates Zirizusam Shel Yisrael, their enthusiasm for the cause. No sooner had he finished speaking than they immediately left to go home and get what they needed and bring it back. And I want to let you into a secret, Doctor. The women were the ones who came back. We have to speak a little bit about the lady. There, Loshon HaKozov, and this is borne out by the words which open the pasuk when it says there, Vayalzo ho anoshim al hanoshim, which is usually translated as, and the men came with the women. But the word al is different than the word im. If all it wanted to say was the men came back with the women, it wouldn't be Vayalzo ho anoshim im hanoshim. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, you have to know, Ki Loshon, that the expression Al Hanoshim, that the men came back Al Hanoshim, Yore, is to tell you, Ki Hanoshim Ba'u Shom B'techila, that the women came back first. So Vayavo Ho Hanoshim Al Hanoshim should not be translated as, and the men came with the women, but the men came as well as the women. The women were there first. Right? And when the men had come, they already found the women there, because they had brought their contributions first. And this is an indication of the tremendous esteem and level of Jewish women at that time. Because when it came to building the golden calf, lo rotzu lotzeis tachshiteihem, they wouldn't part with their gold and silver and jewels. How do I know? Because vayomer aleihem Aharon, it says there, and Aaron said to them, poraku nizmei hazahav, take off your golden rings, asher biyaznein sheichem b'neichem u'b'neuseichem, which is on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters. And what does the pasuk say? By yisparatu kol ha'om, and all the people took off es nizmei hazahav asher biyaznein, but not the gold and silver that was on their wives. Below Omar, it doesn't say, why? Because the women wanted no part of the golden calf. You want to do it? Not with my money. And Shlomo HaMelech was the one who alluded to this when he said in Kohelet, Echo Odom Echo me elef Mosasi, one man in 1,000 did I find, meaning 0.1% of all men were involved in the Chet HaEgel, of the Isha Bechol Eile Lo Mosasi. I never find any woman amongst them who joined in the chorus of Eile Elohecha Yisrael. These are your gods of Israel, which was the words addressed to the golden calf. You Muslim ask a cause of Eile Elohecha. So, but the Isha Bechol Eile Lo Mosasi, I didn't find one woman amongst all those people who offered a contribution to the calf, of whom it is said, Eile Elohecha Yisrael. Avolato, but now you're talking Jewish business. The Inyan HaMitzvah V'Nidlat HaMishkon, when you're speaking about the mitzvah to give to the Mishkon, Rotsu Losei Sachshitei Hazov Shelohem V'Chepetz Gadol, they gave everything they had with a heart and a hand. In Hayos Inyan Tivi, even though, says Rabbeinu Bechai, writing 600 years ago, it is only natural for women not to want to part with their children. Right? The heim heim ikasim chosim v'chemdasim, and they are items in which women normally have a delight, but the heviyah they brought, oh, v'nezim v'tabas, obel v'chumos, kol kaliz ahav, they brought the whole lot. Every article that they had. The kodmu b'mitzvah hazos lo anoshim, and they were the ones who came before the men. And that is proven by the fact that the Torah says, Vayavohu ho anoshim al anoshim. And we find the same thing, Nocho Aram al Ephraim. Because Al Ephraim means Ephraim was there. That's the story. So if you want to know who was most zealous in the building of the tabernacle, it was the women. Now, what do they get in return? I mean, there must be something in it for the ladies. Ubetirke Rabbi Elias. And in regards to the women and what reward they get, we get this in Ubetirke Rabbi Elias, and we find the following. The women were given their reward for their zeal in building the Mishkan in this world and in the world to come. Because the Mishkan was eventually put up in Rosh Chodesh Nisan, as we will find the next week's sentence. So therefore, in this world they get their reward. They keep Rosh Chodesh more than men, because minhag Yisrael is that women don't work on Rosh Chodesh. That's the minhag. Says the figure of Eliezer and Ezra, that's where the minhag comes from, because they, says Rabbeinu Bachai, because they were zealous in regards to the building of the Mishkan, which was erected on Rosh Chodesh. And in Olam Haba, they get the reward, Shehein Asidos Lehitchadeh Kimo Rosh Chodeshim. Because the other level, when Mashiach comes and women will be brought back from the dead in Tchias HaMeitim, they will be renewed even more than men. Shneemar, as the prophet says, HaMaspiyeh V'tuv Odayich Tzitzchadeh Shemesher Ni'urayich. There will be a special renewal of every feminine aspect of their bodies and character when they come back to Tchias HaMeitim. That is the reward which they will get for the Olam Haba. So what we have here, then, is a very beautiful indication of exactly what the priorities were for the women at that particular time in the building of the Mishkan. For the Egel Azov, they didn't want to know, and as far as the Mishkan is concerned, it was appropriate for them, in their opinion, that they should be the first ones to contribute. So their slate is completely clean and everything. Okay. Let me then just draw your attention to one or two other items which are of great interest in regards to our sitter. And I want to draw your attention to Perek Lamed Zayin. I might as well tell you, now that I've mentioned the Rabbeinu Bachi or Rabbeinu Bachai, whatever we want to call, I should mention to you that there is a medrash that came across during the course of the week in Shir HaShirim Rabo. And it's in Perek Dalet Parsha Kaf. Only it's not in Parsha Kaf in Zefus Vilna, it's in Parsha Kaf in Zefus Levin Epstein. I don't know why that is so, but that's the way it is. So just if you want to find it, Levav Tanya. And it says there that the women were so much upset with the making of the Chet HaEgel. Not only did they not contribute a penny, but they also, when they discovered that those that discovered that their husband had been involved in the Chet HaEgel, that they refused to live with them as man and wife. The Gemara, the Medrash says there, no alud also saying. They closed their doors. They wouldn't let their husbands into their room. Because they regarded them as a mummer. And one is not allowed to remain married to a mummer. To an apikodis. Somebody who worships Avodah Zarah. So not only did they not give to the eagle, but they actually refused to have anything to do with their husband. And on the contrary, there are some people who want to say on the basis of that passage in Shir HaShirim, that the Shiddish was that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forgiven the Bnei Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel, it means he'd forgiven those people who'd actually worshipped the Chet HaEgel. So they are no longer considered mumer, and therefore they were joined together back again as husband and wife, and that is the theme of Vayavohu Ho'anoshim Al-Hanoshim. But the men came together with their wives because the matrimonial harmony had been restored as a result of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forgiven Bnei Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel. And the idea that a person is not allowed to remain married to a mumor, is Shailas Tuvah Torash Bo, the space mayor in Chelas Evan Oezer, it's just a long chesed. But in Shir HaShirim Rabu it says that quite simply, Vadov and no alud also. Okay. So what I want to draw your attention to in conclusion this evening is a theme that we have mentioned before, and nevertheless we mention again because, as you know, Shivim Ponim La Torah, there are no end to the various observations that can be made. We know that Bezalel was appointed in order to oversee the making of the Mishkan, no matter what it was, the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Mizbeach, Mizbach HaKetoret, whatever it is. And yet, as we have noted some time ago, only in connection with the Oron does it say, Vayas Betzalel es Oron, that Betzalel made the Oron. With the rest, you can check up if you don't believe. It says, Vayas es HaShulchan, Vayas es HaMenorah. Betzalel's name is not mentioned. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, why is Betzalel mentioned only in regards to the making of the Oron? We mentioned, you may recall, when we had to look at Parshas Trumo and spoke about the Oron itself, and when is it called an Oron and not. And we mentioned there that according to the Meshech Chochmo in Parshas Vayakel, the mention of Vayas Betzalel as the Oron is to indicate that there will only ever be one Oron amongst our people. The Oron that was made by Betzalel. Because when we came into Eretz Yisrael, that was the Oron which was in the Mishkan, that was the Oron which David HaMelech brought up to Yerushalayim, and that is the Oron that went into the Beit HaMikdash, which was built by Shlomo HaMelech. That is the Oron which was hidden by Yoshiyahu HaMelech in the place, the inner recess, which Shlomo HaMelech had made already at the beginning of Bayis Rishon, and that is the Oron which will be revealed in the head of Yoenu, etc. Do you want to know why it says Vayas Betzalel? Says the Meshech Chochma, because you have to know that there is only one Oron in regard to the Shulchan and the Mizbeach and the Menorah, etc., etc. Many of them were made. Some were made by Betzalel. Later on in the Beit HaMikdash, they were made by Shlomo HaMelech, and by Yeshayahu, they were made by other craftsmen. But in regard to the Oron, there was only one Oron that was ever made, that was by Betzalel. There is, however, a different interpretation which we can offer, and that is based on a Rashi in Parshas Eker, which incidentally we had a look at in the second of our Shiurim in Parshas Truma last year. In Devarim, let me just give you, I didn't put it down, but let me give you the Mare Mokum. In Devarim, it is Perek Yud, Potter Tal. For Ein Tahi, at that time, Omar Hashem Eli, Hashem said to me, Kesolachov, hew for yourself, Shnei Luchos, Havonim Korishonim, two tablets of stone like the first, the Alei Eli Hahoro, and go up to the mountain, the Yossi Selecho Arone, to make for yourself an Oron of wood. The Moshe Rabbeinu is told, to hew for himself two new tablets of stone and make for himself an ark of wood. Says Rashi, let me read it out. Lesof mem yom, at the end of that period of 40 days, the middle 40 days, Nisrachali, God finally accepted my prayers on behalf of Klal Yisrael, V'yomali, and then said to me, Kesolacho, make for yourself two new tablets, and then said, V'yosisa oron, and make for yourself an ark. However, says Rashi, V'ani yosisi oron tehila. This is Moshe Rabbeinu, but I made the ark first, Shekish Ovo, so that when I come down, the Halukos be Yodi, and the Lukos will be in my hands. Hecha et name, where will I put them? I'm going to have the ark first. That's not the ark that Betzalel made. How do I know? Because they came down, Moshe Rabbeinu came down after Yom Kippur with the Lukos. And I've just told you that the Lukos had to be put into an ark already, so they were put in the day after Yom Kippur. The Bnei Yisrael only started to contribute on the 12th, 13th, and 14th of Tishrei. They started to build on the 15th. And we know, to go on in Brachas, that despite the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu told Betzalel to make the Kalim first and then the Mishkan, Betzalel made the Mishkan first and then the Kalim. So, by the time it was all over, there was quite a while had passed between the Luchos coming down and Betzalel making the Oron. So therefore you should know, says Rashi, this is not the Oron. This one that Moshe Rabbeinu made is not the one that Betzalel made. So now, says Olivia Payne, in the same way as Rashi was anxious to point out to you over there in Sefer Devarim, that the ark that is under discussion there is a separate ark to the one that Betzalel made. Likewise, in our parsha, the Torah was anxious to point out to you that the Oron which is going to be put into the Mishkan is not the Oron that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Oron that was made by the Had it just said Vayas, then we would have had an area of confusion, because the Oron is the only one where two were made. One was made by Moshe, one was made by Betzalel. Which one got into the Mishkan? So therefore we have to indicate quite clearly in regard to the Oron, but in regard to nothing else, that Vayas Betzalel, that it was the ark that Betzalel made, which was the one that got into the Mishkan. We leave it over here. Please remember, Thursday week, Jerry.